Hi, and welcome to the 10 Minute Techie Podcast. I'm your host, Tony Westcott.
Episode 59, What Does Digital Technologies Look Like at a New Entrant Level? Starts now. And welcome to this week's episode of the 10 Minute Techie. I'm really excited this week because the lovely Hayley at Paul Marie School requested this episode, and I'm really excited to share some of my tips and tricks around digital technologies and what this looks like at a new entrant or junior level and how to even get started around that. So we're going to look at like digital fluency and what that means, computational thinking and what that means, and designing and developing digital outcomes and what that means, and some of my key tips. So let's get into it. Just a little disclaimer, this episode is going to be like 15 minutes, so it's like 10 minute techie plus 5 minute techie. Okay, so buckle in. I promise it'll have some nuggets of gold for you to take away. So first things first, I think with any digital technologies piece is what do I have in my classroom? What devices do I have access to? And just start from there. I think there can be a little bit of like, oh, I don't have enough devices, or the devices don't work, or whatever that might be. Baseline, you've got what you've got. So how do we use those to the best of our ability? And it's quite cool with little people too, because you don't necessarily want them on devices all the time. It's just kind of an enhancement of what you're already doing, and I guess enabling them to be able to be quite creative with it as well. So normally what I see is iPads in junior rooms or tablets, or maybe the odd Chromebook, but my professional advice, I guess, and personal advice would be, if you're thinking about where to start when it comes to even devices, is iPads are so great. They're so versatile. Pros and cons about iPads, I could probably go into another whole episode about pros and cons about different digital devices. I'll add that to the list. But I really think iPads in a junior space are really great because they're super user-friendly. So the first thing you want to think about with iPads, for example, is, or any device, is what do my students need to know about this device in order to navigate and work in it with it? So when it comes to iPads, do they know the parts of the iPad? Do they know what the home button means? Do they know what to do when they are somewhere and need to get back to the home? Do they know where the volume button is? Do they know how to turn it off and on? Do they know where to plug it in? And you actually have to be really explicit with this stuff. We have this automatic thing like, oh, kids know how to use a device, they're so like digital fluently native, blah, blah, blah. But actually, chances are the way they've been using a device in the past has either been mum's or dad's phone or cousin's phone or an iPad that's sort of at the house or something like that. And they know how to find an app, usually YouTube or Netflix or Disney Plus, and they know how to watch something. They know how to passively engage with a game or a watching kind of app. So assuming that they know the actual way an iPad works, we can't really. And you know, it's kind of like when our kids come to school and they've got all sorts of different experiences. You'll have some that are experts and some that have never touched a device before. So I think it's really important to carve out some time to be really explicit with your kids about your devices in your room. What are they? How do they work? And what's our co-puppet around them? What's our rules around how we use iPads in our classroom? Do we hold them with two hands? Do we not run with them? Do we plug them in after we use them? All that kind of thing. So think about what that looks like in your classroom. So the second part to kind of digital fluencies or digital literacies is around some of the basic tools. And I think once they get to know some of these basic tools, you can use them in all sorts of contexts, and it really lets your kids fly. So with little people, it's about, I teach taking a good photo. So where do I find the camera app? How do I focus? How do I not take a photo of someone that doesn't want to be in a photo? Consent around photos. And we just play and we practice. So I do a bit of a junior photography scavenger hunt. So I say, go and take a photo of a piece of the playground, go and take a photo of the piece of something in your classroom. You can keep it super tight, or depending on your kiddos, you can broaden it out to the whole school, up to you. They're your kids, you know what your kids can and can't do. And so we then find that photo. What makes a good photo? Is it in, and a couple of my top tips there is it in focus? Who is the, or what is the subject in the photo? What am I trying to tell or storytell or say with this photo? And then what I go into with my kids is like, what apps do we use for learning? So do we use Mathletics? Do we use Study Letter? Do we use any of those kinds of things? Do they know? Do they need to know where their password is? Do they need to know which iPad they use when they do it? That kind of thing. Do they know how to scan a QR code for Seesaw? Do they know how to find their name on Seesaw? So you've got to kind of go through some of the basics with these apps in order for them to then get creative with those apps later down the track. And what I do is I teach this explicit. I've done a lot of work with five-year-olds. With little people just within the digital fluency space. And what I find works really well is when I take a small group, I teach them, and then I rotate another group around and teach them explicitly. Because when I do that, what I find is that I can really easily identify who's super onto it, and they become my experts that help other kids when they get stuck. But I can also see like who has a bit of a creative flair for it, who's really into it, who's quite intuitive. It's lovely. And I know that I have explicitly taught all my kids how to use these tools or these apps or the iPad in general. Another thing to think about is kind of like the behind the scenes thing is, how is your iPad actually set up? Where are the apps? Are they the same on every single iPad? That's something to talk to either your digital technologies outsider person, not the right words, but you know what I mean, like New Era or Norcom or whoever manages your iPads or whoever manages your iPads in-house. It's really, you know, to start with a point where your iPads are set up correctly, just eliminates so many troubles down the line. So if your iPads are not set up properly, you need to talk to your DP, your principal, somebody to get some external help to set them up properly, because it becomes the bane of a teacher's nightmare, actually, if it's constantly popping up asking for passwords and stuff like that. So I highly recommend, you know, we live in a, you know, we've got these really expensive resources such as devices in our classrooms, and yet our schools sometimes don't even have like the external techie support that we really need. So if you've got devices that are not being managed well, they will cause problems. So if you are a DP or a digital tech person listening to this, and you know that your iPads aren't set up properly, that is going to discourage our wonderful Kaya core to use them, because it's stressful when things don't work. And sometimes things don't work, I get that, turn it off and on, all of that. But if they're constantly causing issues, then they'll be constantly collecting dust in the corner. All right, computational thinking. So this is part of the new digital technologies curriculum content. Maybe not so new anymore. It was supposed to be in action in 2020. But, you know, it's always a journey with any new curriculum area that comes in, especially technology. So my go-to with little people is to literally put the devices away and do some unplugged computational thinking. Computational thinking is essentially, how do we solve a problem by going through a set of steps that are like instructions or, instructions basically. So where that links into the big picture is that like any digital device is coded. It has a set of instructions for that digital program to run so that things work, right? From like clicking a button on a website to a robot moving. And so where I start with that is unplugged. My three go-to activities for teaching kids some of the concepts, little people, behind unplugged is, number one, patterns and sequences. So this fits beautifully into your maths. So you can do some like just color coding, anything you kind of already do in your maths, I'm sure, and around patterns and sequences. Finding out where the bug is, which is the mistake in a pattern or sequence, is really cool. Any of those barrier games, so like sitting behind or back to back and going green square goes on top of the blue square, whatever it might be. I used to use Unifix cubes to do this with my kids, and they'd build little towers and tell each other how to build them, because it's about giving clear instructions to create to solve a problem. And the other one I think is really important, or one of the other activities I love to do with little people, is Simon Says, but sort of reformed into Robot Says, because it's about following instructions and being really clear about those instructions. Well, baby, we're flying through today. Okay, and 3DOs, which is designing and developing digital outcomes. This is cool because it links beautifully into, say, something like Seesaw. So if you're using Seesaw, the kids creating something on Seesaw is designing and developing a digital outcome. And at least building some of that fluency to build on in later years as they move through the school. Again, be really explicit with Cecil. Don't just expect your kids to be able to take a photo, put it up there, blah, blah, blah. You have to run through it, just like I did with taking a good photo or something like that. You have to run, you have to be explicit. You know, cull your reading groups for a day, gosh forbid, and run them through how to post a good photo. And over time, over the year, you're building on those skills. What do you, I mean, the thing I see all the time in tiny people classrooms is the teacher posting for every single kid. And it just breaks my heart because our kids are super capable if you teach them explicitly. Not all of them, but a lot of them are. So how might we build agency and independence by doing that with our kids? My other go-to designing and developing digital outcome with little people is Book Creator. Yes, it's a paid app, but it is so worth it. It's one of the I don't often push paid apps, but this is one I do push, and I don't even get any street cred from Book Creator from it. Maybe I should, but anyway, I really think this app is so cool. It is similar to Cecil, but there's kind of like more tools, and it just gives you another kind of platform to use. And I've seen some, like, the Book Creator community is incredible. Oh, it's just a dream. And it doesn't always have to be like a finished product. It can be like, I used to use it for brainstorming ideas with my kids, or like picture plans, or because the cool thing is you can record your voice, right? Which is not something you can do in your book. So I get them to draw a picture and then record their sentence. And I had a student who would do that. And then he would listen over and over and over to that sentence and rewrite it because he couldn't hold that sentence in his mind. So Book Creator is 100% well worth the investment. Okay, so my top three tips for working with digital technologies with little people. Number one, keep it small and explicit. So choose what you're going to work on, focus on that for a week, maybe two, who knows, until your kids really, really start to embed it. Give them opportunities to play, give them opportunities to tutu, give them opportunities to fail. Don't always save them. They will, like, you know, if we're enabling, just like when I work with like my 80-year-old grandmother, I'm like, what button would make sense here to turn the TV up? You know, give them the opportunity to solve their own problems and help each other, because they'll be streets ahead. Even if they don't, even if you don't know all of it, you may know the basics, and that's all they need to know going forward. On the Digital Kitty, we've got a whole lot of like help sheets for like Seesaw and Stop Motion and Book Creator and taking good photos. So you can pop over there and have a wee look. I'll put the link in the show notes. So small and explicit. And my third top tip is around, dare I say it, embracing the chaos. Chaos in classrooms is, I don't mean like chaos. I mean like almost embracing the unknown. If you don't know, that's okay. Just have a go. Learn alongside your kids. You know, if a five-year-old can pick it up, if a five-year-old can say Tyrannosaurus Rex, they can say algorithm, they can say computational thinking, you can learn alongside them. Make it a shared venture. It's the one area of the curriculum you actually don't have to be like an absolute expert in. So just embrace the chaos. But when I say embrace the chaos in a structure. So consider putting it into your reading program first and just staying nice and safe in that little area. Or, you know, doing it in your rotations or your must-do can-dos. Start small and build and grow. And I promise you, if you take the time, it will pay off in dividends later as you go through the year. And you'll just be able to fly with your little people. Sweet. Awesome. Kadawe. That was this week's episode. I hope you liked it. Real quick one, but you know, it's good to get some ideas out there floating in your minds to hopefully build on what you're doing in your classrooms. Let me know if you would like me to talk about a topic anytime soon. I am really open to hearing what you would like to hear. And don't forget, jump over to www.digitalkitty.co.nz to see our resources that support some of this new entrant digital technologies work. If you would actually like some support in your classroom, like some PLD with you and your kids and your teachers in your kura, just get in touch with me at tony.westcott@digitalcircus.org.nz, because that's literally what we do. We apply for funding through the ministry and we get some hours and we come in and work with you for free, and we really actually listen to what you want and what you've got and what you do, and we provide some of these solutions like I've talked about, and we come in and model it. It's the best job in the world. So get in touch if you would like some help. Applications are closing in week 3. And hopefully we can come and help you on your journey. Alrighty, see you next week. Ka kite.